Hey there, NASCAR fans. Have you got your copy of the latest edition of NASCAR Pole Position Print Magazine? If not, there's no better time than now to subscribe at polepositionmag.com. NASCAR Pole Position is the only print magazine covering NASCAR. Officially licensed by NASCAR, NASCAR Pole Position Magazine is published throughout the NASCAR season, and each edition is an instant collector's item, backed with great feature stories and photography. The magazine is even mailed to you in a poly bag for those who love to collect NASCAR memorabilia. At polepositionmag.com, you can even find past issues available to purchase. Get your subscription to NASCAR Pole Position and get great NASCAR content delivered straight to your mailbox throughout the season. Learn more at polepositionmag.com. That's polepositionmag.com.
Hey y'all, Rick Houston here, and I want to tell you about my new show, the Moonshine and Motorsports Racing Podcast. I've partnered up with the State of North Carolina Department of Natural and Cultural Resources to help uncover the history behind moonshining mountain boys, professional wheelmen, and the backwoods and city lights of the Tar Heel State. In the first episode, I sat down with Winston Kelly at the NASCAR Hall of Fame for a little behind-the-scenes gossip about Junior Johnson's engineering skills.
He's got two things in his hand, pipe wrench and channel lock pliers. And they weren't new. They had been around the block a time or two.
Wasn't the first steel they built, I bet.
No. The pliers had been red before, but paint had worn off.
And in the second episode, I talked to a professional hillbilly, a.k.a. Dr. Daniel Pierce of UNC Asheville, to find out the real history of moonshiners and their battles with the revenuers.
He wrote about one of his experience of trying to chase down this bootlegger and this souped-up car, and he complained that the government gave him these piece of crap, cheapo cars, and that were really no match, but he thought he was doing pretty good, and then the guy just hits it and just takes off and practically disappeared. But then the guy makes a bootleg turn and comes back towards him. And as he said, it was a game of chicken, and I was the chicken. And so he ran off the road. And actually, he was the guy who caught Junior Johnson at his daddy's still when Junior got tangled up in a barbed wire fence.
So check out the Moonshine and Motorsports Racing Podcast, available on YouTube, DailyDownforce.com, and all of your favorite podcasting platforms. And be sure to check out my regular show on NASCAR history, the Scene Vault Podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ridiculous, dude. Holy. You see that? Holy cow.
Good job, man.
Two times, baby. Yeah. What's going on, guys? It's your boy Darian Gilliam, aka Black Flags Matter, back for another edition of the NASCAR Weekly Podcast. We have most of our usual panel. We have the Iceberg and Danny B Talks. Eric is still mourning from the Astros loss last night. You know, game seven means a lot on the line. You know how it is, man. But nah. Anyways, now sorry to him about that. But he had some other stuff to attend to. He will be back for the last two episodes
come on
of the season.
Can't miss my birthday next week.
I know. Sorry about that. Yeah, no, well, freaking, and ask the NASCAR on freaking NBC Twitter account confused me this morning talking about 8 years ago, and I thought it was November 1st today, talking about the Martinsville race where Logano and Kenseth had their stuff happen, and I was like, wait, is it Jared's birthday today? I was like scared for a moment. So thank goodness.
Nope, still 25.
Yeah. Thank goodness. Yeah. But hello, everybody. We have damn near 200 people watching. Make sure to click the like button, everybody. But let's get right into our hot take segment. Danny, I'm going to put you on the spot first. Give us your hot take for this week.
So my hot take last week, I have now been exposed as a liar because I said that I didn't think that they cared about the NASCAR awards anymore. Obviously they shoved a big rag in my mouth and told me to shut up. We're still having it in Nashville. But I will say, extending off of that, I think that they have lost the appeal to make this a fan inviting event. They are doing things, but they're doing it in a different way. There's no burnouts on Broadway anymore. That was gone entirely last year. They have replaced it with a champions parade. I think it's going to happen at like 2:30 p.m. on a Wednesday. I think that's when it's going to happen. And then there's another thing where there's some kind of, I don't remember what the term was, like a fair or something like that. Just a little area set up for NASCAR house. That's what they called it. NASCAR fan house or something like that. But they're doing this all like in the middle of a work day, where I obviously can't go today. I'm going to have to take off one day of work just to go maybe to the banquet if I'm fortunate enough to go again. But as far as, you know, this being a fan, you know, atmosphere, inviting environment, like we've seen in years past, I still think that aspect is gone. You know, there is stuff that's happening, but it's not at a convenient time and it's in the middle of a work day. I don't see this being as inviting to the fans as we saw in years past with the burnouts on Broadway and things happening in the evening time in a work week. So that's my hot take. I still think that they are not making this as open to the fans as they could.
All right, Jared.
Well, I'm going to say this. I mentioned it in my video, and a lot of people, I think, took it the wrong way. Maybe willingly took it the wrong way. But I'm going to say this. Kyle Larson is the Brett Favre of NASCAR. He's the gunslinger. His nickname should be the gunslinger. Kyle Larson is probably the most raw, talented driver in NASCAR right now. At the same time, Kyle Larson makes so many boneheaded mistakes at different times that sometimes you wonder why he is in the top ranks of NASCAR. Now, when I said he needs to clean it up, I made that video of Fatal Flaw. That was not me ripping on Kyle Larson. That was me saying that he has not even hit his full potential yet. And two, when he does, he will be one of the most unstoppable drivers in NASCAR. So, yeah, that's my hot take. Aside from stealing for the poor, allegedly, Kyle Larson is the Brett Favre of NASCAR.
Well, you know, we talk about him driving for Hendrick Motorsports. I want to take it, my hot take, to another top team, Joe Gibbs Racing, who I feel doesn't get enough flack for a certain stat that was popping up on my timeline on my feed on Monday after Christopher Bell won at Homestead. With this win, Christopher Bell now becomes the 10th. He now extends the streak of Joe Gibbs Racing making the championship four for the 10th straight year since the playoffs inception in 2014. At the very least, this type of format. But during that whole time span, they've only won two championships, both with one driver, Kyle Busch. And I just feel like, you know, yeah, while it is a good stat on paper, to an extent, it's also not so great because that just goes to show you guys make the big race and stuff and you can't, You know, you can't win it with anyone outside of Kyle Busch with all of those talented drivers, with a Denny Hamlin, a Truex, you know, and you know, now Bell, you know, going back to last year too, but maybe he can change it this year. So I don't know. It's like we look at the Buffalo Bills 0-4 Super Bowl record as like, yeah, it's a great, you know, it's a great accomplishment making the Super Bowl four straight times, but they never won the big dance. Well, I think we kind of need to start from throwing a little bit of flack towards Joe Gibbs Racing for making, you know, the championship four so many times, but only winning it twice with one driver, you know, 10 straight years. Let's see if Bell can make it three, but percentage wise, not the best looking stat in the world. So yeah, that's my hot take though. So we'll see who has the hottest take. The poll is up. Appreciate you guys listening to us. Oh, well, somebody said I was freezing. So yeah, already lost there. But yeah. So speaking of Joe Gibbs Racing though, let's segue into last weekend's race at Homestead. Christopher Bell, David Bell, wherever you are, I know you are extremely happy, sir. But Christopher Bell, man, what a roller coaster of events on Sunday, Jarrett. He gets the victory, championship four for the second year in a row, but it certainly wasn't easy.
You know, Christopher Bell, in my opinion, has to be the most overlooked elite driver out there. And I think we at this point can say he's elite. He's top five in points all year long for the last 2 years. Oh, and here comes the ambulance, of course, because it always comes during this show. But he's somebody who is always one of the leaders in top fives, top tens, getting wins, clutch wins at that. At some point, people need to start putting respect on Christopher Bell's name. And I hope that this somewhat proved it, seeing how he had to hold off a lot of good drivers.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it was also what stood out to me, too, is just the perseverance of this team, too. I mean, there were points where, you know, the crew chief didn't, you know, make the best strategy calls in the world, too, you know, and had to be mired back in traffic. But you know, every time they were able to move up little by little, and then eventually were able to move up when it counted the most there too, with a thrilling battle towards the end there. And, you know, just again, wasn't a guy that was up front the entire time, just bided his time, just took his time, him and that team. And it ended up paying off too. And it's finally good to see, you know, the whole pit crew swap finally work out for him, because it felt like, oh, like why did they end up doing this anyway in the first place? You know, it felt like based on some of that crew's performance. But yeah, so Danny, he's championship four again too. Is it safe to say he is an elite driver at this point?
Yeah, definitely elite. The real question though is where does he go from this point? Because let's see, back in 2019, we had the big three of the Xfinity series. He was one of those guys, and he made it into the championship for that race. Ultimately, though, Tyler Reddick was the one who capitalized and won that championship, and I might have even had Christopher Bell as my pick to win that year. I don't remember that far back at this point, but he was obviously a contender back then. He's a contender now in the Cup Series, now his second straight season, making the championship four. But what now the question is, though, okay, are you good enough to go win? Are you good enough to go be a Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City Chiefs and go out and win it? Or are you going to be more like a Cincinnati Bengals, Buffalo Bills, Denny Hamlin type, where you get there to the final game but don't win it? You know, that's the question now we got to ask with Christopher Bell. Is he a closer that can go out and win a championship, or is he just going to be in the big game and not get it done now?
Yeah. And like I said earlier in my hot take, extends the streak to 10 straight years Joe Gibbs Racing has been in the playoffs too. Let's see if he can finally make it multiple drivers for the victory though. But, you know, some other good notables in the top five too. I mean, let's see, I'm looking at the stats here right here and, you know, started all the way from 13th too. So, you know, didn't have the fastest car in qualifying, but, you know, another Toyota guy, and we'll get to the other contenders too. I'm just going to stick with the other Toyota guy here, but also Tyler Reddick, another Toyota driver too, is also, you know, looking to advance as well. He did his thing, and really the Toyotas in general seemed to have really ran well too. You know, Tyler Reddick finished third, Bubba Wallace sixth, Ty Gibbs seventh. Yeah, even the non-playoff guys too. So yeah, Toyota, yeah, they're in a pretty good spot.
And they had a lot of speed throughout the day early too. I mean, it wasn't that they all had winning speed as much as just that, you know, like Bubba Wallace, for instance. Bubba ran probably, I'd say, back half the top 10, high teen most of the day. But he led early. He was good in short runs. Reddick, he came on really fast at the end, too. May, in a lot of ways, have helped save his season, depending on how you look at it, depending on what happens at Martinsville. But you can't overlook Ryan Blaney either. I mean, Ryan Blaney was bad fast, and I think without some of the issues that he has in that race, he's possibly winning his way in to Phoenix, and then we're looking at a completely different picture right now.
Yeah, well, where did that come from? Because coming in, his best finish there prior to this race was just one top five finish, a third place finish in 2020, and the rest were just, you know, outside the top 10 in the teens or even worse. And then bam, he's just out of nowhere, just battling with Larson there, and it was amazing. I mean, Ryan Blaney fans have been, you know, they've been wondering, is this the year? Can he finally break through? And you know, right now, points wise, it's looking, you know, promising right now. So,
call me a doubter, and Ryan Blaney, I don't know that he's gonna make it to the big one, but Penske knows how to get their at least one of their cars in. He is the car that gives them the best chance to win a championship right now, and they made it to the big game last year with Joe Logano. They won it. They ended up winning it all. So, you know, don't count them out this weekend.
Yeah, and of all the years to do it too, like Penske in a season where they've been off for the most part. Like, I mean, I know when Joey Logano won in 2018, it was a big surprise, you know, because of, you know, the big three and stuff. But I mean, Penske wasn't doing running. I mean, like for the most part, they weren't running terribly most of the year. And then even with last year too, it was kind of a surprise as well. But again, Penske was still, you know, doing their usual stuff. This year, they've been off for the most part. And then all of a sudden, now Blaney's coming out of nowhere and, you know, could potentially point his way in, potentially. So yeah, it's great to see that. It's great to see them running good like that again. And I know Blaney fans got to be happy because y'all have been saying for years, talking about it's going to be the year. It's going to be the year. But yeah, it's looking good so far.
I would even raise this is, was it earlier this year that Kyle Petty said that he is the Casey Kane of the modern era?
Mm-hmm.
Casey Kane never got this close.
A lot of people were saying like, well, what's wrong with being Casey Kane? Because Casey Kane's no shrub either. But
yeah. I mean, that's not. Yeah, I mean, I guess like, you know, obviously in terms of being a championship driver, yes. But I mean, yeah, Casey Kane was always a good driver in his own right. But hey, maybe Blaney can finally take that next step. We'll see. But, you know, he had a great run, but I just wanted to give just a few quick shout outs to a couple of guys here. Some non-playoff drivers. Really, AJ Allmendinger, who, you know, there were a lot of questions coming up about his career, what he's going to do. He gets a top five at Homestead. That was a surprise. And I just mentioned Ty Gibbs, one of the Toyota drivers, a seventh place run. That's a driver and team that are building a ton of momentum entering next year. And then Almirola in P9 and Austin Dillon, a top 10, a 10th place finish. Finally, Dillon has some luck. Finally go his way. It's about time.
Mm-hmm. But I mentioned it that Allmendinger last year, he did the same thing. He was nowhere to be found the entire damn race and all of a sudden shows up in the top five at the end. I don't know how he does it every year. I don't.
Something about it. Yeah, something about this place, man. Yeah. Interesting. But, you know, that was one Chevy driver that ran well. But one that was looking like was about to just run away with the race was Kyle Larson. And before we get to the elephant in the room or the barrel in the room here, you know, but leading up to that, man, Danny, I'll start with you, man. I mean, were you just thinking like, man, like, look, Larson's, you know, pretty much got this one, it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, there for a while, I was like, we were doing a trunk or treat, but I was still keeping up the race on my phone. It's like, yeah, it just seems like it's a Larson domination. And all of a sudden, looking on the app, it's like, wait, Larson's out of the race. What happened? He crashed into the barrels.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So basically what happened was, you know, Larson dominating a lot, you know, large portion of the race early on. And, you know, him and Blaney both running up front, you know, about to make their green flag pit stops. And then, you know, all of a sudden, coming in hot. It's
world's most talented driver, everybody.
Yes, that the best in the world. If somebody else said that this is your best driver in the world. Nah, but hey, look, it's just one of those pit road deals, you know, coming on to the pit lane. And he had said on the radio he didn't expect Blaney to slow up that much. I guess maybe at that particular part.
That's not, I don't know. That was not on Blaney.
Yeah, I was like, but it's pit lane. Yeah, I'm like, well, yeah, you're supposed to slow down. It's pit lane.
Well, no, well, he was right? Definitely entering slower than most people do, but it was not egregiously slow. It was not like, you know, he basically stopped it for the old lady crossing the street. He was. I think they had the telemetry. He was 47 miles an hour, and when Larson hit the barrels and hit him, people forget he did hit Blaney. I think Larson was going like 73 or something. Like,
he'd have got a speeding penalty if Blaney wasn't there.
He would have had to have stopped to make sure that the telemetry part or like the lines or whatever. But I mean, it's that Jekyll and Hyde of Kyle Larson, where like one race or even during part of the race, he'll be dominating. He'll just be the best guy by a country mile. And last year we saw at Homestead, he was the best by a literal mile, the way that he was running away. But other times he can make these boneheaded mistakes or he puts himself, you know, in too deep of a situation. I'm telling you, Larson is only 30 years old. He is nowhere near close to peaking. What scares me, and I think should scare everyone who's not a Larson fan and is his competition, is that Larson is still way far away from that peak as a driver. And when he cleans up some of those kind of instances, I mean, the guy has, I think, was 8 DNFs this year. When he cleans some of these up, which again, not all were his fault, but you know, he will be damn near unstoppable. I think as long as he's able to keep his head on him, that team is able to keep rolling as it is. I still have him as my championship pick. It's a good thing he won last week at Vegas.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, thank goodness. And also really quick too, you had brought up a very interesting stat on Twitter, Jared. What was that stat you had tweeted about on Sunday? Do you remember the it's like he had DNFs and then most laps led or something like that?
I don't tweet much. I can pull it up right away. basically is that, where is it? And maybe I do tweet more than I think.
I know it was on Sunday. I know it was on Sunday.
So here it is. Much. Yeah. Kyle Larson's season is full on checkers or wreckers. This is his 8th DNF of 2023. He also led the series in top fives entering the race and leads the series in laps led, along with his 4 wins, which is 2nd among those in the NASCAR Cup Series.
Think about that. Like, I mean, I know we hold, you know, Ryan Newman's 2003 season into this like high regard of like, you know, greatness and then chaos at the same time. But like, if Larson wins the championship with this type of a season, I feel like that this season would definitely have to top that, right? Or am I just speaking a bunch of gibberish here? Because I don't know. I feel like it's been like, it's like, wow. Like, I mean, he's leading, you know, leading top fives and all this other stuff, but then he's also leading the series and the bad stuff too. So,
I mean, it's very interesting. I'd put it right up there with it. I mean, when you look at full points, like, you know, take out Winston Cup versus playoffs, all of that. When you just look at who's gotten the most points this year, he's like 8th or 9th, 7th, 8th, 9th most of the year. He might be a little higher, a little lower now, but it is exactly the same thing as Ryan Newman, just with less wins, which I think they're much closer now together than they were in 2003. So that's probably why there's less wins. But yeah, I would say if you're looking on the pendulum of chaos, he's a step further than Newman, especially if he wins a championship. I feel like that is a system championship at that point. Is like, this is the kind of season you want if you're NASCAR.
Oh yeah, definitely. I don't know. I have this feeling if Larson goes on to win the championship this year, you know, NASCAR marketing is definitely going to look at that and be like, hey, we can promote this. Anything can happen. You can, you know, checkers or wreckers, blah, blah, blah. They're just going to go crazy with it, I feel like, you know. But it's a pretty cool story. It's a pretty cool story considering where he started off, the way he started off the season. And now he's now the way he's progressed. So, well, but what's an, oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I think you're going to go to it. He wasn't the only one that had these crazy deals.
Yeah. I was about to say, so while he was progressing and stuff, like, and I mean, he was good. He was already locked in, so all good. Just a bad day at the racetrack, no biggie. Still racing for a championship. But as for these two drivers, I don't know, man. We were just talking about Joe Gibbs. Like, okay, got the win with Christopher Bell. That's the good news. But the bad news is your other two contenders. Yikes. Let's start off with Truex really quick. Truex was just pissed off the entire day.
I'm just so baffled at how Truex is like came in so good and somehow consistently each week in his playoffs finds a way to make me think there's no way possible this guy can win a championship or even be in that final race. Yet somehow they skirted around all throughout this playoff, and now we're back in the same situation where he is looking like he can't survive it unless he wins Martinsville, and he has won here quite a lot in recent years, to be honest with you. He can win here, but I don't foresee him winning here. And just Toyota in general came into this playoffs with statistically with five cars in the playoffs, a great chance to get three of the four championship spots. And now they're going to be lucky if they even have two.
Yeah. It's wild.
I think that, and maybe this should have been my hot take, but I think from top to bottom, even if he makes a championship or even if he wins a championship, top to bottom, this team doesn't deserve to be this far. They mm-hmm. don't. I mean, it's an odd year. So, we all want the season to matter more, and this is one of those just outlier years. So I won't even go too far with the whole playoff talk with it. But this team, from crew chief to driver to crew to those building the cars at the shop, top to bottom, this team has been atrocious this year. I think somebody put in the chat, it was like a 20.8 average finish so far these eight races. And honestly, I think they're lucky to be that high. It's just speed isn't there. And when the speed is there, the calls are wrong. And when the calls aren't wrong, there's engine issues. So, like at this point, someone explain to me why does Truex, why would you say Truex deserves to be one of the eight guys this far? He's lucky he had that good of a regular season.
Well, I was just about to say, yeah, I mean, he's basically been running off of borrowed time pretty much most of these playoffs. Like, I'm trying to think of like one race where like, yeah, he did really well. He really stood out during these playoffs, but I can't really think of one. I mean, he's just sort of skirted on by, he's had enough points, he's had enough points built up from the regular season to save his ass. And now it's unfortunately caught up with them. Oh, and Chrome Diesel, sorry, really quick. Chrome Diesel says his average finish 20.7.
About 2023 playoffs. So about 21st.
Wow. Yeah.
It feels like I'm watching a football team that somehow has a winning record, but they keep winning games by two or something like that.
The Vikings last year?
The 2022 Vikings.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, statistically.
But I wouldn't even go that far because at least the Vikings played good for most of those games. Truex has been freaking awful. It's like, watching, I don't know what the Jets most years.
Yeah, it's just, again, like I said, he's been running off of borrowed time, man. It's finally caught up to him. But again, a win can cure all. But I mean, dude, just based off of what we heard just all day, just all Sunday during the broadcast with the radio stuff, it's like, wow. Like, look, I've heard Junior get negative, on the radio before growing up or really a bunch of times growing up. But I don't know, man, just this level of just negativity, man, for Truex is like, he this is always who he's been. He's always been a whiner. But this was like, I haven't heard it this bad in a while from him, man. It was just, he was just defeated the entire race from start to finish. So, and that's not really good. Not really good if you're a Truex fan, if you want him to become a two-time champion, because, not looking good performance-wise, not looking good morale-wise, but he wasn't the only Joe Gibbs driver to have problems, too. Denny Hamlin. I thought this was supposed to be the year. What happened? Denny delivers. I thought this was supposed to be the year. Did you guys notice Denny Hamlin didn't do his podcast? Y'all notice that? What happened? What happened, man? It's a lot easier to do your podcast when you're winning and stuff, for sure.
Life, it happens.
It happens.
As a short track racing.
Yep, the yearly choking in the playoffs happening. But
I won't dunk too much on him, but it's I had to say it is pretty funny that he skipped out on his podcast.
That's what I'm saying.
What happened?
Someone said he did do his podcast. Did he or did he not?
I think he did it like late, if I'm not mistaken. Because I saw a lot of people saying that he did it.
Okay. Yeah. It must have been late then.
but at what point do you just at this point think with Denny Hamlin, like it's just never meant to be? Like it seems like no matter what, no matter how good he is, no matter what happens, a lot of times now it's completely out of his control. Something always manages to take him out. I do feel bad for him. Like I know a lot of fans don't. I feel bad for him.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand why some fans don't feel bad for him just because, you know, of like all the, oh, I beat your favorite driver, blah, blah, blah. And then like, you know, they think he's a hypocrite.
I mean, that
from
was
time
a little
to time.
Random. And,
yeah. Like, and
I'm
I mean,
fine
like,
with it. I'd rather have that than somebody telling Jeff Gordon telling his team to be four clones.
It's great to have some personality. Yeah, for sure. But, you know, there were some other times too, I guess, you know, with the way he drives and, you know, that sort of thing, you know, people are going to have it out for him and stuff. But yeah, I do agree to some extent with Jared, dude. At some point, I at least with me, I do feel somewhat bad for the guy and stuff too. Cause I mean, yeah, he has every accolade you can think of in the Cup Series, except that one championship, that one coveted championship. And I don't know, it's not looking good again. Although he is one of the favorites entering this weekend, though.
I just feel like if Hamlin and his fans, if they suddenly see like an Alex Bowman or someone random like that in the top five, you know they're going to start getting flashbacks to two years ago.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, overall, Joe Gibbs Racing, though, was a very, very mixed weekend for Joe Gibbs Racing. That's for sure.
Well, I guess that can lead in. Who do you guys think get those last two spots?
Yeah, I was just about to say. Yeah, so we're looking over the playoff grid, we already got two guys locked in, of course. Kyle Larson, thank goodness, and Christopher Bell, leaving two spots left. And right now, the two guys above the cut line, both family, pretty much. William Byron and Ryan Blaney above the cut line. William Byron plus 30. Yes, family. William Byron plus 30, and then Ryan Blaney plus 10. And then on the outside looking in, Tyler Reddick is fifth at minus 10, followed by Denny Hamlin and Truex tied for sixth at minus 17. And then I know we had high hopes for Chris Buescher in the playoffs. And, you know, it's pretty cool he made it this far. But right now sitting eighth, 43 points below the cut line, obviously.
Still don't rule him out. I mean, he won Richmond.
Yeah, it is. Yep, just one race, one win can change everything. So you are right, too. So.
Well, and they're using a tire compound they tested at Richmond, too, right after that. So I'm pretty sure my pick is pretty much screwed with that when it comes to him making it in. I'll say I think Byron is the lock. He's good at Martinsville.
Yeah.
And he's also got that much of a gap behind him. Man,
I feel like he's good enough to win. He probably definitely get a top five.
Yeah. And behind him, though, I don't know. Maybe it's just me being hopeful, but something speaking to me about Tyler Reddick right now, and I don't even think he's the top guy to look at. There's something saying it to me. I mean, 10 points out, that team will not go away, and it's a track position race. Like it or not, Martinsville is all track position, and if he just stays out on two lap tires or two tires, I should say, with like the last 20-30 laps, he could easily point his way in.
I'm glad you're getting a good feeling, because I don't have a good feeling about Tyler Reddick. If I'm being honest with you, I, for some reason, think this could be a race where it's like going in, you think, oh, we're right there, we can do this, and just things collapse. That 23-11 pit crew, you know, they're bound to make a big mistake at some point. This is already kind of a hard pit road as it is at Martinsville. It's just screaming to me that this is a place where they would let him down. Bad luck would happen. And, you know, I am feeling safe about William Byron. Something could go wrong lap one at this track. You never know. And they could be trying to play catch up the entire day. If I'm being real honest, I feel the best about Hamlin. I feel better about Chris Buescher than I do Martin Truex Jr. I actually think there is a slight offshot chance that Chris Buescher could surprise us and somehow steal this win and get in before we would see Martin Truex be good enough this week to win here.
Wow. I was just about to add, wow, that's interesting, Danny. So like even, you know, so despite Truex's history at Martinsville, you're even saying now, like, it's over. It's over.
It's the same thing I say about football. Whatever happened last year doesn't matter. It's all about this year's team. I just don't see it. This playoff run for Martin Truex Jr., I don't see it magically changing.
Okay, so is it safe to say that going in out of the four drivers below the cut line, Truex, you are least excited about?
If you want me to give my pick of who's in, who's out.
Oh, go ahead.
I will say Byron in, Hamlin in, the rest out, but watch out for Chris Buescher to do what they need to pull a rabbit out of their hat.
Could he be Chase Briscoe last year, except actually pull it off, not give it up with four to go? I mean, I think that's something to look at. Byron for sure. As much, again, as I do have a good feeling about Reddick, I think he'll be in the mix. If I had to pick, like, my power rankings of these six, it'd be Byron, Hamlin, Blaney, Reddick, Buescher, Truex. And I think Truex should do better, like, based on what he's done in the past. But I just can't ignore how much that team just seems like a mess right now. Like, if I'm thinking just stats, it should be Truex and Hamlin, even with Byron having... And Byron, probably those three should be who it is, but it's just, I can't trust that 19 team. There's a reason I thought they would regress this year.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, I figured there'd be some sort of regression from them, but like not at this rate, especially like during a point in the season when you don't need any sort of regression at all. But yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what they can do this weekend.
With the 19, it's not on the same level as Harvick 2020, but it's dang near close what we've seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly. Actually, it may be worse because Harvick's kind of came out of nowhere in that final round. This has just been consistently. We've always seen this coming from the very beginning.
Well, mm-hmm. And I'd even say with Harvick's, you know, he should have won that Kansas race if it wasn't for the crappy aero package. He was leading the Texas race. NASCAR didn't throw a caution for rain. He shouldn't have been in that position. Truex shouldn't either, but Truex has earned being in this position at this point. Like, it just seems like that team has just consistently inconsistent by consistently being bad, like if that makes any sense.
Now, you know, it's a very interesting situation. So here you have a team where it's like, okay, it's not in the best place right now, but they still won the regular season championship. You know, they're still, you know, even though they're struggling, they're still, you know, they still have a shot to race for a championship next week. During the offseason, regardless of whatever the outcome is, do you think some changes need to be made or no? Just, you know, or am I just overreacting asking that question?
It's a good question.
Because it's like, I don't know. It's like, yeah, there's a lot of bickering and stuff going on and it's all public. And then, yeah, the performance may not be there right now, but the problem is, I mean, they won the regular season championship for a reason, you know?
So I don't want to jump the gun too much yet, because I feel like I jumped the gun early in the season and you know, they kind of burned me on. But this is how they've been for a while. They've been snappy at each other for a while. It's been like this. Now it's just when it's doing bad, we all notice more. I would say at the moment, let them ride it out. But if this kind of struggling from the top down to this team continues 8, 9, 10, 12, 14 races in the next year, then I think a big change should be made. But it just, you know, people talked about in the chat, this kind of collapse, this negativity that keeps growing, it very much is reminiscent of 2008 Kyle Busch. And we saw what happened the next year with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just imploded the very next year. I'm assuming you agree, Danny?
Yeah, I'm right on the same page as Jared there. It's just, it's been wild.
Yeah, it's been wild for sure. Yep. But yeah, no. So that's the playoff grid. That's the playoff situation. So we'll have to see how that develops. But yep, do or die situation for a lot of these drivers. Yeah, either you win and you're in, or if you're below the cut line, that is a wrap on your championship hopes.
I'll grab me a few hot dogs and I'll watch the show in person this weekend.
Oh, yeah, nice. Yeah. Have a blast. Have a blast, too. Make sure. How many hot dogs did we eat, Jared, when we went? It was so many.
Jeez. It was in the dozens for me.
Yeah.
But of course, I also am the type that, like, I will just, I think, so it wasn't that time in 21, but I think it was, like, in 22 in the cold race where I bought, like, 50 or so hot dogs. Not 50. It was, maybe it was. I was also gifted some hot dogs, which was really cool. But I had a ton of hot dogs and beer, and I just drank beer and ate hot dogs until I warmed up.
Yeah, no, that's your no. That those hot dogs are really no. They really be when you get like 10, like when you get like a dozen of them in like your book and in your backpack and stuff, and it's really cold and stuff. You just hold on to it. Yeah,
they give me a
no,
box.
I get the feeling.
Like yeah. I heard somebody give me a box.
That's right. They do give out boxes. Yeah, but one thing is. You got to be patient, though, with those lines, though. You got to be patient.
Yeah, but it's worth it. But I'll tell you what, man, my gut afterwards, it was like, you know, system reset, factory settings on that.
Yep. So if you're visiting Martinsville for the first time this weekend, just get the hot dogs, bro. You will not regret it. Trust me. More than one.
This will only be my second time, but first time I get to vlog our trip there. So it'd be nice to showcase a new track on the channel.
Nice. Hope you enjoy. Well, one thing that I did enjoy, well, to some extent enjoyed, was the television ratings. So getting into the ratings, we had, yeah, you know, there was like, you know, some positives. There are also some negatives, too. You know, one of those types of television weeks for NASCAR. But the viewership for last weekend's Martinsville race, just a little over 2.2 million viewers. For last weekend's Martinsville race, or excuse me, last weekend's Homestead race, excuse me.
Where are we, Darian?
We were at Homestead. Yeah, we're on my channel right now.
Where are we, Bill?
So we're down. So that means it was down 2% compared to last year. But in the key demographic, though, 15% it made up for 15% of the viewership. Just a little over 330,000 for the key demo. So NASCAR also beat F1 in the 18 to 49 demographic with a 0.26 rating compared to a 0.23 rating. For F1's Circuit of the Americas weekend, which, by the way, I had completely forgotten that they were at COTA. I don't know. I guess that now they visit the USA so many times nowadays, it's like, oh, well, they're just there again. Doesn't feel like a marquee event anymore, I guess. But no, I mean, that's not the only thing, though. F1's Circuit of the Americas race was down compared to last year's.
21% at that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so that's interesting.
They're down. I looked at it. They're down from what I can tell, like 5% year over year. They've basically decreased about the same amount NASCAR has. It's like, other than IndyCar, racing has decreased. Good on you, IndyCar. I don't know what you're doing, but good on you.
And yeah, I know, man. Well, I don't know. I guess IndyCar, like, maybe they're sort of in the middle compared to F1 and NASCAR, where it's like, okay, they're not doing a whole lot of gimmicks, but then the racing isn't, like, extremely boring. You know what I mean? So I don't know. It's a very interesting state IndyCar is currently in right now. Just leave motorsport games and you'll be good to go. As far as the video game side, but always got to take a shot at them, right? But yeah, so those were the TV ratings, and now it's time to get into another type of ratings. It's time for the poll, the famous iceberg poll on the NASCAR Weekly Podcast. And yes, let's go over the results. So what did you guys think of last weekend's Homestead race? Well, 44% thought this was a great race, and 41% thought it was a good one.
That's more split than I thought it would be.
Yeah, leaving it with a net positive rating of 85%. 11% of you thought it was average, so just a mid Homestead race. Okay. And then 2% thought it was below average as well as bad, leaving it with a net negativity rating of 4%. So yeah, obviously Homestead's gonna bring one of the most positive races of the year, for sure.
4% Larson fans got it.
Yeah. 4% Larson and Hamlin fans as well. Hamlin fans were not happy. Truex. So they all came out the woodworks. But now let's get into the first comment. So, fellas, what do you think? Positive, negative, or mean?
From Isaac.
Okay, so I'm just going Isaac. I'm going to go with meme.
I'm going to go with positive.
Man, this track is so good when it comes to racing. Why isn't it the finale again? In fact, this current schedule would be the greatest with the Gen 6, while 2017 to 2019 schedule would have been goated with the next gen. Kind of interesting. Certainly ironic in his Palpatine voice. Speaking of Star Wars, Anakin is going to kill Larson for that pit road incident.
So a positive informed meme. There you go.
Yes.
Yeah. No, that had everything.
I don't like sand. Rough, coarse, and irritating. I think it's everywhere. Denny Delivers had the top voted comment saying, I am once again asking myself this question. Why isn't Homestead the finale? Phoenix could never.
Oh, I thought he was about to say something about Hamlin. Like, whoa, why? Here we go.
Hamlin could never, no matter the track, right?
So. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, he could never.
Evan put, man, the final stage was crazy. JD put, why can't we have this track as the finale anymore? Mickey Logano put, the moment Larson kamikazed the barrels instantly made the race a classic. He did what Kurt Busch couldn't.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it feels like yesterday.
Yeah, 20 years. Let's see. I'm not going to read that one, but it's an SS Sniper Wolf reference. Louis, thank you for this one. As a Bell fan, I couldn't be happier. Second championship 4 in a row. Ice Car says, crazy final laps. I think with Martinsville, the way it is, we most likely have our final 4 set. Wow.
Man, he's already thinking, it's set in stone. Interesting.
Ethan says, the playoffs have been pain as a Truex fan. Scrolling a little further down here. Half of the comments are, why is this not the finale?
Yeah. Hey,
I can just add something on that note, I maybe wouldn't be as mad about Phoenix being the championship if it wasn't for the fact that we raced there at the beginning of the year, because I like the exclusivity of drivers not getting a single chance to see this track until we get there to the end. Yeah. I would be fine. It's the same people that own ISC on both Homestead and Phoenix, so why don't we just get 2 Homestead races? I don't know. That's my rant on it.
Yo, I think it'd be kind of funny, Darian, if you put a poll of like just dunking and just going, what would you have? This is a finale, Homestead or Phoenix, and seeing how skewed it is.
Do a poll.
Let's see. As a Bell fan, woo! Let's go! I extended letters and all. Let's go down to the gutter.
Oh, gosh. The gutter.
I actually read the gutter comments again this week to vet them, and it's pretty good. Yeah, I think we can read them. First one from C American, who says, Homestead Miami is mid. It's like 5 guys, not worth the watch. Wow.
I see why it's in the gutter.
What? Not worth the watch. Okay.
Tyler put, the final stage saved this race because this track sucks.
So basically because they had a long green flag runs the first 2 stages, they're like, nah, that's it.
Okay. Oh, and there's like, there's a back and forth of just him and this other commenter arguing about it. It's funny. And then Joseph with the bottom comment says, best person to ever drive a car in the history of the universe when he has to slow down for pit road for the 200,000th time. And then it's a bunch of emojis of crashing and explosions.
Oh, man. Hey, Larson set himself up with that because, you know, his fans are like, oh, best in the world, this and that. And then he hits the pipper. So it's like, hey, that's your best in the world. Oh, man.
Yeah. But that'll be it. That is the poll.
Yes, and that'll do it for the poll, the famous iceberg poll on the NASCAR weekly podcast. And clearly, the fans have spoken. They want Homestead as the finale. Clearly. I'll leave it up and see if it expands more.
Oddly enough, though, I did the math. There's at least 14 people out of 90 whatever that prefer Phoenix.
Yeah, there's always a few. There's always this other few. But yeah. So yeah, the Cup Series race at Homestead. Okay. That happened. But Xfinity though. That was very interesting. Well, before the race even started, it was it's something interesting happened on pit row before the race. The
Yeah, what was that? That was like just weird. Like, and it wasn't even like at least we're gonna do that. Like, at least make it serviceable.
Well, no, because what makes it even crazier is he clearly, I don't think he knew he was on camera because his back was turned. So he was just willingly doing that. Just, I don't know, I guess for someone or whatever. And it was on, whose car was it? John Hunter Nemechek's. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I was expecting to see a TikTok or something come out of this. There was nothing. It was just that.
It's just a revoked hard card.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm like, revoke his hard card. Revoke the hard card, right?
I got to see NASCAR. Whoever invited him, you're done. Yeah, you're done. You're done. He's done. You're all done. But I don't want that to overshadow the race itself. That race was fun as hell.
Yeah, it was arguably, I mean, look, you make the case, arguably the best race of the entire weekend. You know, I mean, just something about Xfinity, man, on just mile and a half on intermediate tracks, you know, it says a lot, but oh my gosh, at Homestead, man, it's such an amazing combo, this package and this track, man. But Sam Mayer, bro, I've been saying for a while, I think he's him. I think he's going to develop into him. And wow, you talk about peaking at the right time, man. This second half of the season, you not only get not one, not two, but three wins to close out the year, all on road course. Oh, well, three wins on road courses, right?
Yeah, correct? But now he has an oval.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't losing track. So yeah, you have three road course victories, and now you have an oval one, and it happened to be in the race where if you win, you get to compete for a championship. So Sam Mayer says he's taking the next step, and we had talked about this towards the end of last year's season, or towards the end of last season was, can he take the next step? Can he, you know, go? Can he take a similar path just like Ty Gibbs and Danny? So far, he's proven himself right.
Yeah, absolutely. Sam is really coming into it. He's proven he can win on more than just road courses and not really controversial fashion either. So it's good to see that. And he's gotten the one car of JRM back into the championship race for the first time since, gosh, when did Elliott Sadler last?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Like 2017.
Yeah. Sounds about
so
right.
So if he can pull it off somewhere, there'd be probably a smiling Elliott Sadler somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what I liked about this win was that he wasn't the best car and he still managed to keep it out front. Cause at the end of that race, Riley Herbst had the best car, which is, it's crazy to say, but at the end of this season, the two that impressed me most, and I'm most excited to see their development, are Sam Mayer and Riley Herbst. That could be your championship battle next year for Xfinity.
Very well could.
Because Herbst, between last week and this week, at least with the mile and a half, has shown like he is a force to be reckoned with. And Stuart Haas is a force to be reckoned with, too. So, it's too late for him this year, Herbst, I should say. But I am so excited to see if that team can put together a full season next year, what they can do with that 98. And as for Sam, I mean, I think at this point you got to expect going like competing right up there with the best of them for the championship. I don't think you can look at Sam and be like, nah, he's, you know, he'll be like fifth all day. He'll be behind him. No, like I think he'll be one of, if not the fastest car at Phoenix. Hey,
Jarrett, can you do me a favor? Hmm? Can you say that sentence about SHR being a what again real quick?
What did I say?
A force to what? SHR is a what?
Reckoned with?
Yeah, just say the sentence.
Stuart Haas in the Xfinity series is looking to be a force to be reckoned with the speed they're having.
You added that in there. I was just hoping that our SHR fans out there could hear that one time because they don't get to hear it anymore.
No, they don't. I was like, wait, what did I say?
I thought you were about to say, wait.
I just heard that, and I was like, they deserve to hear that one more time.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, wait. Time.
I was like, wait, no, Jared said Reckon before. I thought you were about to get on him for that. I'm like, wait,
yeah, I was like, I'm like, did I say
no? I just felt like they deserve to hear this. They need to hear this.
Stuart Haas is a force to be reckoned with in the Xfinity series.
In 2023, they're a force to be reckoned with. It's not over.
I mean,
but right,
they look good.
Yeah, they look really good. Yeah, but Riley Herbst, man, he must have saw that the video I made on him a couple years ago. I was like, yeah, bet. Because ever since that's uploaded, he's ran way better ever since. And that was 2 years ago. So, but now it's great to see him finally progress, start running a lot, a whole lot better. Finally got that first career win, a week ago and stuff like that. And now some people are like, now as far as like, can he be a champion and stuff? Well, I would need to see more on a much consistent basis. That's the thing. He has to make the playoffs first. Now, obviously, he missed and, for the most part, it wasn't his fault. His team sort of failed on him, but now they've made up for it, towards the end of the season. So let's see if that'll carry over into next year for sure. But so another young Xfinity guy that was doing his thing, who has a bright future, some guy named Dale Earnhardt Jr. was up there, right? He was running.
I could see him winning two Xfinity championships before his career said and done. What do you guys think?
Yeah, so really quick, Jared, talk about Junior's run really quick. I have to kill this giant ass bug on my wall. I'll be back.
Okay.
Darian is the goat of saying exactly what is happening before he randomly runs off the screen.
Well, I'll say this about Junior. I was a little nervous early. I was thinking that we might be looking at a mid-pack run, but from what he was talking about is that he told them not to tighten him up, and then the team gave in, which I guess, it's Dale Jr. You're going to do that, but what's he doing?
I can't think of seriously just running all around right, the room. Sorry.
For those who are listening right now, Darian is doing his best Tom and Jerry with a bug. Okay.
He's just running from one side to the other, running around the flip-flop in his hand.
Oh, okay. Anyway, sorry. That thing was huge.
I was 95% happy with Junior's run. The only thing I really wasn't was his mistake, which again happened, but in taking his own car out, I saw the chat saying that that JRM needed to implode so bad they needed to get the boss in on it.
Yeah, I was about to say, of course Junior would get involved into some Junior Motorsports shenanigans. But the crazy thing about it is that, hey, despite all of those shenanigans, you got one guy, you have one of your drivers who's going to be running for a championship and, perhaps maybe two, if not more, maybe. So, we'll see.
I think it's just that the big point, too, to talk about is the fact that, between flat tires and different problems in the pits, all of that, Custer and Allgaier really gave up so much ground that they could have made up or perhaps gotten to Phoenix with. I'm just wondering if at Martinsville it's going to come to bite them.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, because now the point situation for Xfinity, let me pull it up because I know it's...
Yeah, we're really close in the Xfinity series. More than we are per cup, that's for sure.
At least with
three guys, there's a lot that...
Right.
Need a miracle.
Yeah, so Sam's already locked in with the win, of course, and then John Hunter Nemechek, he's 44 above the cut line in P2, so barring the unforeseen, he should be good for the most part. But then you have the final two spots, Cole Custer and Austin Hill, who are both tied at +3 above the cut line, ahead of Allgaier in fifth. But then 6th through 8th, however, they need a win, pretty much. Sammy Smith, Chandler Smith, and Sheldon Creed is the last one, correct?
It's funny, the way this is lined up currently, if the championship four stayed exactly how it is going into Phoenix, for Cole Custer, it would be almost identical to what he found himself in 2019 at Miami when he was in championship four the last time. Because you've got Cole Custer in a 00. You've got the JGR number 20 there. It was there last time he was there. There is an RCR car there, and there's a JRM car there currently. That is exactly what the 2019 lineup was like for the championship.
Well, yeah. I'll say that my championship four picks for Xfinity, the hardest part is done. Like, Sam Mayer was the most outside pick I had, and then I had Nemechek, Custer, and Allgaier, I believe, without Hill being in there. And I'm actually feeling pretty good about this heading in. I won't spoil any picks or anything, but I'm feeling really good about my championship four picks at the moment, which probably means at least two of them will implode.
Yeah.
Who's I'm feeling, here's what I think. I don't want to give away my pick for the win of the Xfinity race, but one of these guys currently who needs a prayer, I think wins this weekend. And so I think the final spot is just a huge toss-up of whoever finishes the best between Custer, Hill, and Allgaier this weekend. I think someone who needs to win is going to win this weekend.
Yeah, man, Martinsville's the perfect place to do it. Just take somebody out. Just dump somebody, get the win. It's as easy as that. But yeah, so that's the Xfinity Series playoff situation entering Martinsville. And I guess the last thing to talk about as far as Homestead's concerned, Truck Series, of course,
Hosovar,
bro. Who picked him to win? Did you pick him to win?
I picked him to win.
Okay. Yep, yeah. Did. Hosovar, dude, he's doing his thing, man. And, you know, not only won, he just dominated this race, really. You know, the only other guy towards the end that was like, you know, kind of closing in on him to some extent was Zane Smith. And then he ended up getting DQ'd. So Hosovar really ends up wins by like 13 seconds or something.
I got a picture of that really quick to pop up on screen.
Okay.
And you can see clear as day. Look at their names. Look at Hosovar's name on his truck and look at Zane's name on his. Like, everyone could see this.
Yeah, it was so obvious. Yeah. You just can't hide that type of stuff, man. You can't do it.
Hosovar and Z-Smith.
But it had to have been a mistake. Like, if they were trying to cheat, that was the dumbest way to do it because everyone's going to see it.
Yeah, everyone saw you. Pretty much. And I don't know, like, I guess thank goodness they didn't win, because then that would have been a big thing. Like, oh, like they won, but then DQ, blah, blah, blah. Like, so
when I know the truck series always had the Craftsman banner there forever, but when they started putting on all the other series and even on the back window, like at first I was like, why are we doing this? But now you see examples like this and the Harvick situation back in 18. And it's like, okay, this actually makes more sense now.
Yeah, but yeah, pretty much. Yep, Sheepbot. Yep, Cotton 4K. Yeah, like, do you guys not remember the 2018 season when like 5, 6, 7 Chevy teams would do this and get caught every week?
It had to have been a mistake or something. There's no way. Like, I don't even see what the aero advantage to that is.
Yeah, it had to have been. But
imagine what could have been done back in the day of the like the Gen 4, the Twisted Sister, and what kind of stuff could have been done with any kind of slight modification to the window back then.
Oh my God. We could talk for 3 hours about the Twisted Sister. I want to get into it because I want to get into it that bad. But it's always funny looking at these diecasts. It's like, oh yeah, that looks like a pretty good car. And then it's like you actually
see a perfectly straight car.
Yeah, and then you see the car and it's like, you know, the banana car from back in the day. But really quick, I wanna say attaboy to Ben Rhodes and team for having the perfect strategy to barely get in. That was awesome, awesome work by that team. Because they had no business being as high up as they finished. I think they finished like third or fourth. But that strategy worked to perfection at the end, and now he's competing for a championship, one of the final four. So, good to see.
You're giving a attaboy to him. I'm giving an attaboy to Grant Enfinger. You know, the last season of GMS and going out on top in the championship four once again. Grant is one of those guys that, you know, he's been around a truck series for a long time, won some races here. Overall, just a solid racer in that series, but you know, just to see him get one last chance to go for a championship. I don't know if he's announced what he's doing next year. Does anyone know that? I have no clue.
No, I haven't heard anything. I would assume he'll be back next year, though.
Grant has proven that even with this team going away, he needs a ride for this series because he's a driver that'll get you to a championship four at least.
Yeah, and he was a guy who was part-time for a little bit there, and then it's great to see him back full-time. But yeah, so as far as the championship four for the truck series is concerned, Corey Heim, Carson Hosovar, Grant Enfinger, and Ben Rhodes make up the championship four for the truck series. Those four will be racing for a championship next weekend at Phoenix.
about nearly the best you could get, I think.
Yeah.
Not next weekend, 2 weeks.
Or 2 weeks, excuse me. Yeah, yeah, 2 weeks.
This and it's definitely a unique lineup here. We got Grant's made it to Championship Four before. Mm-hmm. Ben Rhodes, obviously, is a previous champion with his good friend Bud. And then two drivers making it to the Championship Four for the first time in their career. This is Corey Heim's first full-time season, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so. And he'll be back. He'll be back for more next year, too.
I just caught what you said, Danny. That was good. That was good.
My good friend Bud.
Good friend Bud. Heim, he'll be back in the series next year too, competing for championships. So see if he can make it. His first this year and go for two next year if possible. But some penalties too. Oh, Ty Majeski again. They got him again. Oh my gosh, Ty Majeski and the 98 team were levied. They were levied an L1 penalty and lost 10 more points. Damn, what did they do? Did it exactly say what they did? Or?
I didn't catch it just because I didn't catch it till last minute, but I can pull it up. The chat will probably pull it up before I even get there.
It's safe to say they weren't racing for a championship either way. So,
I just love to say. The first thing I saw with that is somebody going, "How many times do we have to teach you this lesson, old man?"
Yeah. Already. I thought you guys learned the first time. But yeah.
Oh, and also something we didn't talk about. Nick Sanchez did not hurt anybody at Homestead. Like you said.
Actually, he finished behind Matt Crafton.
Oh, damn. I was just about to say something too.
Quick, Ty Majeski was docked for front suspension violation. It was prior to practice and qualifying.
Oh. So they got caught, way before the race. Then. Oops. Oh, my gosh. Yep. Oops, we did it again. But, yeah. So that is the Homestead weekend. We just went over in a little over an hour. Appreciate you guys tuning in. We have now reached the top of the hour. We are now at that point in the show where we are at the first Super Chat stage break of the evening. Thank you guys so much for watching. Let's get right into it. And before the show, Jimmy sent a $50 super chat. Really appreciate it, bro. He says, "Hi guys, I got breaking news. Jesse Love will be driving for RCR in the Xfinity series next year." Yeah, so we can briefly talk about that later on. Then NASCAR's on 2414 with the $5 super chat. "Hey guys,
Carson."
God, why do I keep doing that? Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. I had it right for a little bit there. I had a good streak going. Gosh darn it. Nas Carson with the $5 super chat. "Hey guys, Eric, Homestead 2023 or Phoenix 2022, what track not racing do you like? I like all birds. I like all birds eye views. Phoenix has for fans. Go Texas Rangers." I think what he's asking was Homestead 2023.
I can speak on Eric's behalf when it comes to, I think he means like accommodations, how the track is overall as a facility. Okay. I like Homestead as a track better, but Phoenix is a better facility.
Oh, wait.
And I have a feeling that Eric would say the same.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And then Jimmy, he sent another super chat, this time $20. Also, he says, also good for Eric. For hosting the Groovy Hollow from last night. It was a great race. Well, I'm sure he appreciates you watching. Thank you so much. Alex Luft with the $2 super chat. "Hey, Eric, go Rangers." See, that's the reason he's not on tonight. You wanted to avoid all those, right? You wanted to avoid all that. Then Isaac with the $2 super chat. "Hot take, there's only one good NASCAR movie, Cars 3. Whoa, that is a hot. Ooh, that's a really hot one there. Chrome Diesel with the $2 super chat. "Too fast, too Larson." Well, maybe too fast, too Larson. He also needs to avoid the two barrels. See what I did there? But Spencer, thank you so much for becoming a channel member for over 2 years. Wow, appreciate it, man. He says, "Well, heading into the home stretch, two races left." Yes, sir. Then we have Fred Dog 81 with a $10 super chat. Would you consider Martinsville as the best elimination race? It's higher stakes, so there's more dramatic endings. Plus, unlike Daytona, Roval doesn't feel like a wild card. Skilled elite up front. Okay. So when you're talking about, you know, compared to Daytona and stuff and Roval, yeah, I could put it up there and stuff. It's just with the way the next gen car drives there now, just it's not the most entertaining, and I don't know, drivers can't do as much as they used to.
But
appreciate it, guys. Thank you guys so much. That'll conclude this edition of the first Super Chat Stage Break. Stay tuned as we will get to the rest of the Super Chats at the very end of the show. Okay. How's the weather been for you guys all day? It's been good.
Pretty good.
I actually went out. I ran a mile today. That was interesting. So
that's cool. When you ran the mile, did you have a little? And it's the lightning round on the NASCAR Weekly Podcast. Jarrett, what do we have on tap for this evening?
Well, we have a little bit of news to talk about. First off, I want to, one, give a shout out to the Spotify crowd who has been coming in force lately, and really the entire audio crowd. Love the support we're getting on that. But I asked them in a poll what was their favorite points format. And it's basically like of the last six that have been done in the last, well, X amount of years. In sixth, last with no votes. Anyone want to take a guess of which one is last with no votes?
Well, hold on, what were the choices again?
Are the Winston Cup format, OG Chase, 12-man Chase, Wild Card Chase, Chase Grid, or Playoff Grid?
Playoff Grid.
I'm going to say Wild Card Chase.
12-man Chase.
Oh, okay.
Fifth with 3% was the Chase Grid from 2014 to 2016. Fourth with 11% of the vote was the Wild Card Chase from 2011 to 2013. The OG Chase was third with 14%. Second was the current Playoff Grid, 29%, and Winston Cup format, 43%, as the winner of the poll.
Okay. But yeah, no, thank you, Spotify listeners. Bring that heat. Appreciate it.
Now, I also want to remind everybody to watch the last two episodes of the podcast. The next 2 weeks, November 1st is my channel, my birthday, and finale on the 8th of November.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
The Chicago Street Race is being shortened from 100 laps to 75 in 2024, based on, I think, a new agreement with the city of Chicago as well. Dean Thompson is back with Tricon in 2024. Dude probably could get offered an Xfinity ride, but wouldn't take it, seeing that Haley Deegan's up there.
Yeah. Oh, he also started, like, I guess he's like kickboxing now and stuff or whatever. I don't know. He's like turning into a fighter too. So I guess he's doing it all now. Yeah. That's cool.
Also, Carson Hocevar is starting his own late model team.
Oh, that's good. That's cool. That's pretty cool. I believe he'll be at the All-American 400. He was there last year. Mm-hmm. So maybe he might be. Maybe.
Now, the ARCA champion, Jesse Love, is jumping over to RCR to run the Xfinity 2 car. And there was some news when it came to, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, but on the award celebration, it's back in Nashville on Wednesday, the 29th of November, and Thursday, the 30th. The 30th is the main celebration, whereas most of the fan activities are looking to be the 29th. There's other stuff through the week of awards-wise for other series, too, I think, on Wednesday. But that was just announced, which is odd it was announced so late.
Tuesday, the 28th, we'll have the ARCA Modified Advanced Auto Parts Series, all the regional touring events will also be in Nashville on the 28th.
And then the final bit of news in the lightning round is that JGR has, I think Chandler Smith is the one actually who bought out his colleague contract and is going to JGR in the Xfinity series in 2024. So
he said, nah, take me back. He's like, nah, I'm gonna head back.
It's family until we're not winning as much.
Yeah, he's like, nah. He's like, all right, I can't take another year of this.
Because Chandler Smith was a KBM driver, went to college, and now he's like, get me back in there.
Yeah, he's like, nah, take me back.
But yeah, that is it for the lightning round this week.
Yes, sir. And that'll do it for this edition of the Famous Lightning Round on the NASCAR Weekly Podcast. And now, back to the show. And then we immediately go into the Martinsville preview.
I don't think Darian realized that there's like nothing left but the Martinsville after that.
Bro, no, I tried my best to try to extend it. It was just, we already, like, we were just talking about it, bro. Like, look, there's so much to talk about with Homestead, bro.
Like, we're only an hour and 11 minutes in, and we're basically almost done.
Yeah, chat, this is so unusual. You have no idea how unusual, like this feels so unusual to me, bro. Just getting to the freaking preview thing this early. When's the last time that's
happened? We were talking before the show that it felt like at this point last year, just each week we had so much to talk about.
Yeah.
And just for whatever reason, this playoff run has just been like, okay, that's it. Okay.
Yeah, so we could either go at this two different ways. We could either just try and extend the show with talking about gibberish for the next 40 minutes, or we could just get into it. Let's just talk about gibberish for
the rest. Definitely not going to get Danny talk about the Tennessee Volunteers anymore. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah, it's probably best. It's probably best.
Or our group chat profile pic.
Oh yeah,
we talk about that. After there's a
man
picks.
Originally from Miami that irks me the wrong way during football season.
We can talk about that after the picks, though. What, Darian? There is some interesting stuff though going into the Martinsville weekend.
Yes, it is. So, this is the official Martinsville weekend preview. The weekend notes goes as follows: the tires for the Cup Series race will have a thicker thread. These tires were tested at Richmond in July, and drivers thought it made the biggest difference. And then Goodyear thinks it will be opening up more options for teams to tune the cars up as well. So yeah, so that's interesting. How do we know which drivers tested those tires? Or I know
we talked about it when it happened. And
yeah,
I
can't remember.
July. I mean, dude, I can't remember what I had for dinner last night. You're asking me to remember. Well,
I think Buescher was one of them, wasn't he?
He was one of them. Yeah, I was just curious if there were any other guys who were currently in there. I'm pretty sure there were, but yeah. So, hey, if you happen to test these tires, then hey, you might have the clear advantage. We'll see. But the Cup Series race, the name for it, the Xfinity 500, 500 laps. The stages are as follows: 130 for stages 1 and 2, with the final stage closing out at 240 laps. The start time is at 2 p.m. Eastern time on NBC, and you can also listen to it over on the Motor Racing Network. The weather for Sunday's race: 81 degrees with near record highs, 19% chance of rain. The defending race winner is Christopher Bell.
Funny thing about the weather. So, like, I was checking on AccuWeather. AccuWeather for that day has the near record highs, and it says it would be wise of those attending the race to wear sunscreen. That's on the weather forecast on AccuWeather right now.
Yeah. So, just, yep. And stay hydrated as well. So, yeah, do all those good things. Take care of yourself. As for the Xfinity race name is the Dead On Tools 250. Okay. All right. These are the types of sponsor names I can live with, not like the three or four sponsors rolled up into one name. There we go. Short, sweet, and to the point. I love it. 250 laps, the stage lengths, 60 laps for both stages 1 and 2. 130 laps for the final stage. The race begins at 3:30 p.m. Eastern time over on the USA Network. You can also listen to it on the Motor Racing Network. The weather for Saturday's race, 84 degrees, with late October record highs and a 13% chance of rain. The defending race winner is Ty Gibbs.
So I'll ask you guys this, and I want to see if the chat gets it too. What was the last time that a Martinsville weekend this late in the season was this warm in the forecast? Like, take a guess.
I'm going to say 2001?
No, I feel like it was more recent than that. I'm going to guess 2014.
Okay.
Ding, ding, ding. Danny's got it.
Damn. Yeah. Very recent.
2014.
And we liked the result of that one.
2014, yeah. Martinsville was in the 70s and 80s all weekend. And then I went the next year, and it was rainy and cold as hell.
Yeah, no, I went in 2017, and it was freezing that evening. So, and it turned into a night race, too. So, yeah, I'm going to appreciate the temperatures for this trip.
Well, like I said earlier, stay hydrated out there if you are going. Yes, including yourself, Danny. Including you.
Hot dogs and water. That's the fuel for today.
There you go. Hot dogs and beer. Hot dogs and water or Gatorade. Then yeah, there you go.
But don't be like one of those weirdos on the hot dog eating contest and dip in the water. That's
not. Yeah. That's doing too much. But anyways, now that we've gone over the race details, let's go over the betting favorites. Let's go over my betting odds on the NASCAR Weekly Podcast, the final one on this channel for this year. The favorites for this weekend are as follows. Denny Hamlin is the clear odds-on favorite. We haven't had a winner so, we haven't had a favorite so clear, like, that clear all season. Like, 200, he sets as the odds-on favorite at +275. And then in second is Larson at +700. That's crazy. So they're thinking he's a damn near guaranteed, you know, shot to win. That's insane. William Byron is third at +750. Fourth is Brad Keselowski at +850. And rounding out the top five is Martin Truex Jr. at +900. As for the best of the rest, Ryan Blaney +1200. Joey Logano +1400. Tyler Reddick +1500. Kevin Harvick +1800. And Kyle Busch +1900. Finally, the underdog segment, Christopher Bell at +2000, along with Chase Elliott. Chris Buescher at +2200. Ty Gibbs at +2,800, and Ross Chastain sits at +4,000. Before we move any further, though, the NWP Fantasy Leagues are heating up. They are heating up. Sean48NY can clinch this weekend. Just needs one more solid weekend, and you are good. You will win the main NWP Fantasy League, and he sits on top as the points leader. I'm in second, followed by Trevor Sports 98. In third, the NASCAR Bear in fourth. And rounding out the top five is Denny Delivers. As for the second NWP Fantasy League, I am leading by just 19 points. So by the skin of my teeth, just 19 points. In second is Room HMS, not too far behind. Third is Race Roar 48. Fourth is 42 Larson 5. And rounding out the top five is JC underscore 43. So that's the situation with those fantasy picks. These fantasy picks, however, it's a totally different situation as well. So we got five of us in it, but I can let you know already that at least one of us has already been eliminated from the championship hopes. Danny, can you guess who it is? Yeah, can you guess who it is? Guess who it is, right? But here are the pick points,
though. It's not as bad as last year.
Yeah. So yeah, you were in it. You were in it until the final two races. That's something to be proud of. But yeah, right now the chat sits as the points leader still with 567 points in total. Eric is trailing the chat by 15 points. I'm in third, -35. Jared is fourth, -53. And Danny, officially out of contention in last, -75. Oh, yeah. We got to make sure you add that in, right?
I have a feeling I'll be under that red line next week because you have to be within 35 points entering Phoenix to have a shot at it. So
yeah, so I'm just there. I just want that shot. I just want to say I had the shot. But yeah, so those are the points. That's the point situation. And let's get into it.
I have Eric's picks already. I'm going to list them last so there's no overlap.
I was just about to ask.
Whenever someone misses, I always list them last anyway. So I figured I'd let the chat know in advance. I'm not rigging it against you.
Rigged.
Sore losers or winners.
All right. So that means, I get to pick first. Oh my gosh. It's been a while since that's happened. But yeah. So let's get right into it now. The Xfinity Series, ladies and gentlemen, and podcast crew, fellas. Who do you think's going to win? I'll go first, of course. I am going to go with Justin Allgaier as the winner.
I'm going to go with the guy that I think is going to burn down his car and track this time, and I'm going to go John Hunter Nemechek.
John Hunter is a good pick. He won here back earlier this year, but he is locked in, and who is not is the guy who finished second earlier this year, and that's Sammy Smith. Sammy Smith is my pick to get it done this weekend, and he is that one on the outside I said is going to get his way into the championship four.
Hey, good one. Man, that's a good one. That's a good one. Let's see the chats. I'm seeing a bunch of 20s.
Yeah, they got John Hunter Nemechek, and I should let you know Eric as well has John Hunter Nemechek.
Oh, there you go. See, all right. So the chat and Eric both John Hunter Nemechek. All right,
and Jared. Yep.
Oh, and Jared as well. Okay, and now let's get into the cup picks. Before the winners, of course, we have to get into the first two. Let's get into who's going to suck at Martinsville in the Cup Series. I'll go first. I am going to go with a current playoff driver, currently on the outside looking in. He's had an awesome season, but despite the tire test, I don't know. I don't think he'll, I think he'll do well at first, but then track position will come into play and stuff. It always does with these next gens, especially at a freaking Martinsville of all places. Chris Buescher is going to suck. Don't worry, fellas. He will be back next year, though.
Austin Cindric.
Now, despite this being statistically a good track for him, he's had some crazy moments here, like 2017. He's also had some key moments, like in 2020, when it helped cement him into the championship four for him to win the championship there. I do think Chase Elliott's going to have a bad performance, probably somewhere in the 20 range, so we'll call that a suck performance. Mm.
And it's looking like the chat's going with Truex. Eric didn't give me a sucker dark horse.
Yeah. We'll give him Truex. Give him Truex with that. Did you say Eric didn't give you a sucker dark horse?
He didn't give me those ones.
Yep. It's fine. But for the rest of our underdog picks, I will go with Ryan Preece. You know, we saw what he did, him and Storehouse Racing did in the spring. Yes, you know, track position did, you know, play a major role into it, of course. But, hey, who's to say they can't do it again? So I'm going to go with them.
Give me another Stuart Haas car. Not Kevin Harvick, not Ryan Preece, not Chase Briscoe. Give me Eric Almirola. He's going to get another top 10, I think.
Good one.
I think this weekend the wrong 2311 car will come to life. And I think Bubba Wallace is the underdog for this one.
Yeah, of all the weeks, they need one guy to come to life. And in the chat, I'm seeing a bunch of, well, I was seeing sixes, but
I'm seeing a bunch 14.
Of, we'll give him Briscoe. Yeah, we'll give him Briscoe. Yeah, I'm seeing a bunch of those. All right. And now for the final time on this channel for 2023, it's time for the main event. Who's going to win? Who's going to win? At Martinsville, I usually say Eric, but now it's me this week. So I'm going to get it over with. You saw it in the odds, Denny Hamlin. I'm going to go with it. I don't know if it's his year, but he'll certainly make the championship four, I think.
I've seen this guy win at Martinsville before. I've seen him run top five at Martinsville before. He's been getting better and better. I'm going to go with William Byron.
Yeah, I'm going with Denny Hamlin on this one. He's going to prove this is my track. I know every odd year there's some drama, but I think he got that drama out of the way last year instead, getting screwed over by the Hail Mail, and that can't happen this year. I think Hamlin will win this week. He'll win this weekend at Martinsville.
Mm. And the chat. I'm seeing
24s and 11s.
Okay, we'll have to run a poll. 24 and 11.
And I can then give Eric's pick because those are neither of Eric's picks.
Yep. All right, let me put the poll in. 11 24.
Well, what is the poll is live? Say what it is.
Well, yeah, all right, it is Ryan Blaney. Ryan Blaney is Eric's pick.
Ooh, also, interesting.
I'm looking at it right now. If let's see what do we got so far voting wise.
Let's see.
It's looking like it's kind of settled.
Oh, Byron. Yeah. We'll give him. Yeah, Byron. It is. We'll just. So end it
now. I'm kind of shocked they're that convinced of Byron.
Yeah.
Interesting. I will just let you know now though. voting the same choices as me means I am officially eliminated.
I almost
said it, but I didn't want to give it away because I didn't want to influence any of it. But yeah, so congrats. It's now a 3-horse race going into the weekend. You know what? I lasted up till the second to last race and I still have that first championship. So,
hey, congrats. There you go. Congrats. At least on that. But yeah, so yep, all the picks are locked in. And what does that mean? Well, it means we need to go over the final Super Chat stage break. Let me pull it up again really quick. Oh, I don't know why the itinerary closed. There we go. All right. So let's go over the final Super Chats. Isaac, thank you so much for the 2-hour Super Chat. Does Newman win the 03 championship with this format? I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. I think you went through that. Yeah. Been there, done that. And then Shorty PJM with the $3.12 Super Chat. My sis on Larson. What a loser. Laughing and crying emoji face. I felt that. Talking about when he hit the barrels. Yep. And then Garbecki with the $10 Super Chat. He says, I know it was his first time in the new car, but geez, Nemechek was freaking awful. He ran in last off of speed for a while in a car that would have seen Carson wheel to an easy top 20 finish in only his few starts. Yeah, and it happens, man. But hey, just look out next year. I think he'll do a lot better next year for sure. And then Ryan with the $2 Canadian Super Chat. If Truex was not regular season champ, he would exit out of the round of 12 or around that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I agree at this rate. Yeah. Isaac with the 2-hour Super Chat says, hot take, Hamlin's a bigger hack than Bowman. Okay. Interesting. And then CBB with the $10 Super Chat. This week, Denny didn't deliver. Ah, I see what you did there. Yes. Yes. Also, what driver not named Chase Elliott that didn't win a race this year do you think is most likely to get at least one next season?
Ty Gibbs.
I'd say Ty. Yeah, I was about to say Ty Gibbs. Ty Gibbs, easily. What do you think, Danny?
Ty Gibbs.
Ty Gibbs. Antar Das with the 2-hour Super Chat. Danny, what happened to them balls?
A lot of things,
man. I was there. Yeah, it was bad.
We won 1.5 games against Alabama.
Yeah, we had a streak. 1.5.
Hang the banner.
Hopefully they're not losing to them for another 15 years. Matthew Brown with the $10 Super Chat. We may have wrecked, but this 5 team is ready. So he's very confident. We're always fast, and Kyle is as motivated as ever. Kyle's ready. The team is ready. The world needs to get ready. The Larson era is just getting started. Whoa, he is very confident. He's very confident. Okay. Hunter Nixon Fishing with the $5 Super Chat. Seeing Kevin Harvick's crew chief, Rodney Childers, and his family give the command was pretty damn cool. Yeah. You know, the scheme was awesome. It was cool seeing that scheme on track. It was cool seeing all that pre-race stuff. So pretty cool class act by Homestead. And then Movement. What's up, bro? Not only my Discord runner, he runs my BFM Discord, but one of the greatest trolls in NASCAR history. Thank you so much for being a channel member for 3 months. Says Mayor Godin. I agree. And then Phoebe with the $5 Super Chat. Everyone gather around. Grab some s'mores and let the gentle, warm flames of Denny Hamlin's combusting season warm you through the cold October month. Damn, bro. It still got a shot. Still got a shot, right? Okay, there we go. And then we got just a few more. Wow, thank you guys so much. And then FredDog81 with the $10 Super Chat. Everyone gets on Tony for Stuart Haas Racing. But what about Haas? Is he around? At the very least, he stopped the team from signing some top-tier drivers. Why doesn't he get as much blame? Actually, I think he does. I think he gets just as much, if not more. At least I give him that. Yeah, because, I mean, there have been times where it's like, you know, they could have signed this guy or that guy and stuff, but then he's sort of, you know, either him or Ford have, like, sort of stopped, you know, those moves. So I would agree. And then Jimmy with another $10 super chat. Thank you so much, bro. Says, Darian, did you hear about Lewis Hamilton and Charles Leclerc's Charles Leclerc have been disqualified from F1's 2023 United States GP? Yeah, I saw that. I can't remember the reason why. Some sort of car issue, contact issue. Clarify that for me again, because I knew they got kicked out, or they got DQ'd, but didn't know exactly why. It's nothing with the $10 super chat. Thank you. Potentially last weekly question of the season. Okay. Where do you see Christopher, I see what you did there. My bad. Where do you see Christopher Buescher in 20 years? I see what you did there. Champion, a multi-time champion, how many wins, or was this season just a good one, just a one-off year?
In 20 years?
Yeah, I guess that when it's all said and done.
I mean, I don't know what the landscape of the teams will be like in that time frame, but I could see him having a season where he just is, you know, as some competition goes away, he's just best of the best and could win a championship potentially.
Yeah, I agree. I could see that as well. Then Alessandro, thank you so much for the $5 super chat. Good luck and have fun, Danny B, on your trip to Martinsville. Also, there is going to be team orders, dive bombs in the closing laps. I guarantee it. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. And finally, It's Nothing, who has been a channel member for 4 months. Free super chat. Hope y'all are doing well. Thank you, bro. And as I say that, we get one more from Jimmy, who's been bringing the heat tonight. Thank you so much, bro. Final super chat says, it was for car plank rules breach. Okay. All right. The funny thing about that whole deal was there was a video earlier in that race where Hamilton, he passed Lando Norris, and then there was this one Hamilton fan who stuck her hand in the face of a Norris fan. They were just clearly joking or whatever, but then people got too bent out of shape over it. But then it's funny how it didn't age well, you know, after the whole DQ shenanigans. But yeah. So yeah, that'll do it for the final super chat stage break of the evening. And that'll do it that'll do it for season 6 of the NWP of the NASCAR Weekly Podcast on this channel, at least. So another year in the books on Black Flags Matter. We have just two more shows to go next week. Join us Wednesday night, November 1st, on Jarrett's birthday, by the way, at 8 p.m. Eastern time over on his channel, as we'll review Martinsville and get set up for the Championship 4 weekend at Phoenix. And also, I already mentioned your birthday. There you go. Yeah, and also, once again, it's his birthday.
Woo! Real quick, can I say something before we go?
Go ahead.
Hey, if any of you are at all around Nashville this on Friday, the Lionel store is opening up, having a cool grand opening ribbon cutting ceremony. We're going to be there. So if you're at the Opera Mills Mall and you see us, say hey to us.
And there might be some other people there. We don't know just yet. But
I really don't know the details on that, but we will be there.
Sounding like there might be some other people there. So definitely, if you're in the area, check it out.
Yeah, for sure. Man, a season 6 on my channel in the books, bro. It feels like we just started. It feels like we just started the show yesterday, bro. We started off this season at Daytona on this channel. We end it after Martinsville. Just another awesome Homestead. Year of the NASCAR. Homestead.
Florida to my Florida, man. Stuff.
Yeah, Florida to Florida, man. There you go. But yeah, so another awesome season of the NASCAR Weekly Podcast on BFM is officially in the books. Stay tuned on this channel for more streams. Hopefully I don't get copyrighted again. Hopefully you don't have that happen. Jeez. Come on, YouTube. With all the things going on. Come on now. Get your priorities straight. But yeah. Oh,
real quick, Phoebe put in the chat, Dirt Rockingham 2024.
Ah, there you go. There you go. Dirt Rocking again. Put everything on the schedule, bro. Everything. But yeah, so let's end it off, bro. That'll do it for another edition of the NASCAR Weekly Podcast on BFM. Thank you guys so much for watching. This is Black Flags Matter. Catch you next time. Goodbye.
Go get us a W.
Hell yeah.
Ready.
What the
f***? Copy.
Down.
We had to go play it.
Unbelievable, man.
Way to keep your head in this. Holy
oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yeah.
Four. Yeah. I'm done with it.
It's your face. That's fail.
Steve, you look beautiful. You look great.
Ridiculous, dude. Holy
job, man.